Welcome to Crossing the Divide, part of a grassroots, multimedia collaboration between Rocky Mountain PBS, Mesa County Libraries, and the Daily Sentinel. The Crossing the Divide project creates a forum for Western Slope voices to educate the community on local matters. Crossing the Divide portrays the unique realities of life in the region and provides a tool for rebuilding a sense of trust and common purpose that enables citizens to transcend divides and work together to overcome the challenges we face. I'm Gretchen Reist, your guide over the divide and into the diverse terrain of Western Colorado. This podcast is the first piece of what I hope to expand into a multimedia project focused on life in the Intermountain West. Our guest for this edition of Crossing the Divide, the official podcast, is Angela Christensen, Executive Director of the District 51 Foundation. Angela and I will discuss the organization's history and mission, its impact on local education thus far, as well as plans for the upcoming school year and into the future. Though it's hard to believe, we are embarking upon another school year. So Angela, thanks for joining me today to talk about a very timely topic, building a strong foundation for our public schools.
Well, thank you, Gretchen, for having me here.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your own personal history and what your role with the District 51 Foundation is?
Sure. Well, I'll just start by saying that I have a real heart for public education. I know how important it is to any community. And so it's just been an honor and pleasure to work with the District 51 Foundation. I've been the executive director since 2016, but I came to it definitely with a past of being in education. I've been a teacher at Palisade High School. I did that for 6 years, Colorado Christian University for another 6 years. And then for the past 4 years, I've been an adjunct professor at CMU in the English and Ed department. And took some time off to be home with our kids. And I was the PTA president at Wingate and then ended up serving on the board of directors for the foundation and just felt like that was such a good match for my skill set. And growing up here, I know so many people and, you know, lots of different things. And especially this position is about the connections that you have. And it seems like that's something that works for me, and I'm able to connect people from all different places, whether it's my background in teaching or working with folks in a PTA, and so it's been a really good fit. So I've been the executive director since 2016. I'm really excited to do that. It just seems to be the perfect fit for me.
Let's talk a little bit about the history and the mission of the District 51 Foundation, because I think you've been around since about 2010, I believe.
Right, we have. Lots of people, and probably people in your audience, are familiar with foundations. It seems like probably about 15 years ago or so, you started getting letters in the mail from your alma mater, from their foundation, asking for money. And so we were a little bit later coming to the game, only being around for the past 8 years. One of our founders, Roy Blythe, who's been here for such a long time, was traveling over the mountains. He was headed over to Denver, and he ended up taking a break in Vail and grabbed a newspaper there. And when he opened up the newspaper, he saw the headline that their foundation for their school had just given $1 million to their school district. And he just thought, wow, wouldn't that be exciting back here in Mesa County? And so he ended up meeting with other business leaders, as well as the superintendent at that time, I think Tim Mills, and just said, let's try to do something like this. And so that was kind of the background of the foundation. We're a 501c3, so we're able to apply for things that maybe the school district isn't able to apply for. It's been exciting. We're now up to about 16 board of directors, and they're from all different aspects of Mesa County. We try to get good representation from all the way from Fruta out to Palisade. We also have two folks who are appointed by the superintendent. We have a teacher currently and a principal, and that's fantastic. We're really glad for that. We also have a member from the school board, but then lots of folks who own businesses and just really have a heart for public education are on our board of directors.
So 2017 saw the successful passage of the bond measure and mill levy
for the school district. Was the District 51 Foundation involved at all in the campaigning for that cause?
No, we weren't able to campaign for that cause. Although at that time I was wearing another hat, and I was the outreach director for 3A and 3B, which is the mill and the bond, and for Citizens for School District 51. If you recall, the logo was "It Starts with Kids," which was a perfect logo. Some things that the mill and the bond were slated for, just some exciting things. The mill levy was for adding 5 additional student contact days. It was also updating instructional materials and educator training. Some of our textbooks were literally 25 years old. Also helping extend the life of the buildings by hitting on the priority 2 and 3 maintenance and adding 5 jobs in technology support. And the bond measure, and that also had the mill has a 10-year sunset. And the bond measure is for priority 1 maintenance, replacing Orchard Mesa Middle School. And I went to Orchard Mesa a very long time ago, and it just has special meaning to me. Also technology upgrades, installing the first ever gym at DIA, an auxiliary gym at Palisade, and something that I know is important to a lot of people, and that's adding security features at schools across the district. And we've had this has been a busy summer for the school district and the maintenance department in particular. We're up to 21 security vestibules. And so those are ways that people will check in at schools that is much more secure. Electric locks at 27 schools. We had our groundbreaking out at Palisade and at dual immersion. There's been so far $30 million in maintenance. Even things like out at Palisade High School, they'll have a new HVAC, so they'll actually have air conditioning out there. If people are interested, the school district has done a fantastic job of just specifying by school where you can find out exactly what your school is getting. So you can just go to the school district's website and see exactly what's happening. The big things, you know, new materials for the classroom, that'll make a huge difference. More school days, there'll be 5 more school days this upcoming school year. Those are game changers. That's a really big deal.
Yes, and my understanding in terms of the number of school days, with the number of school days we used to have in comparison with many schools across the country, if a child started in kindergarten and went all 12 years in the district, by the end of that, they would actually have had a year's fewer contact days than many schools across the country. Is that correct?
Yeah, Gretchen, I ended up using my son as the example, and I don't know if my 3 children were so thrilled with the fact that their mother was working so hard on trying to get additional school days, but I used my son, who's going to be a senior this year, as an example, and he would literally, because you take the 15 fewer school days that we had, and you multiply that by 12 years of school, and you're up to almost an entire school year. And so adding the 5 school days, it doesn't get us where we would love to be, but it's a step in the right direction. I think there are so many people who always thought, oh, man, the kids are getting out of school another day and another day. And honestly, it costs about $650,000 a day to run our school district. And so you think about, where can we save money when we don't have the funds? That's one place. And so there's a minimum, and that's what we were at, was basically the minimum. And the other wonderful thing that has happened because of that is we have been the recipients of the BEST grant. And the BEST grant, one of the ways that the school district has applied for the BEST grant for many years. But one of the ways, one of the criteria that they look at is, does your community support public education? Well, for a long time, and the one way that they would look at that is obviously passage of a mill or a bond. And we weren't able to say yes to that in that tangible way. Of course, there's been a lot of support for a long time. And so that has added close to 14 million, and we found that out this past spring. And that's just another exciting thing that has happened.
I think the fact that these measures did pass by such a large margin when they had failed at least one or two previous times is a statement on how hard people worked to build that trust within the community. There has been a large sentiment among a lot of people who feel those dollars are often going to fund things that don't have a direct impact in the classroom. In other words, for teachers or students, things that will directly affect their academic growth and achievement. But I think a lot of really goodwill and trust was built up throughout that campaign.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things I love about our mission for the foundation. And our mission is twofold. The first part is raising funds for academic growth and achievement. And so we've worked really hard at doing that. And the second part is the part that I think we've really done a great job, and that is just to promote outreach to benefit kids in the community. That's important for people to realize what a role public education plays in any community, and here in Mesa County, it sure does. And so as a foundation, we've tried to keep things, and it's been pretty darn successful for us. We've tried to keep our funding priorities pretty tight, and then we try to showcase exactly how we're spending our money, because we know people want to their money to go specifically where they have designated it. And so our two funding priorities, and it's been like this for about the last 3 years. The first one is technology for students, and the second one is professional learning for teachers. And so I feel like one of my jobs then is to get that out there and get it on the news so that people know. And so the technology for students, that's one that people really like, because you can see the Chromebooks. And an example of this, last year we donated 5 carts of Chromebooks, and that was to middle schools. And people could see that, and it was exciting to see their money going right where they wanted it to. And the other thing that we have done is professional learning for teachers. I'm an educator at heart as well, and I know that one of the biggest ways you ever impact students is through the teacher. I mean, they're the heart and soul of education. And so being able to provide opportunities for them to get extra professional learning is just something we can't do without. And so this past summer, our foundation was the major sponsor of Summer Institute. And that was the very first week of teachers' summer vacation, and they set aside time during that whole week at Grand Junction High School, and it was elementary, middle, and high school teachers to come together and get more training. And we were so honored to be the major sponsors. We donated $20,000 to that so that teachers could come get that extra training. It's exciting to see people come together to support public education. And the other way that we have shown that is our online teacher grants. We just started that. We knew that teachers wanted some specific money. They wanted money that they, you know, that was something that they were passionate about for their own professional learning. And so in February, we had our very first time of evaluating. We probably had about 25 applications come in. We knew we had about $7,000 set aside. And we ended up, one of our very generous board members, during the midst of the decision making, just said, "Hey, I'm going to write an extra check." So we were able to give out a little over $9,000, because after reading all of the applications, it was hard to turn any of them down. But we gave 14 different teachers these grants. One person who received them, Sarah Kamstra, a fantastic music teacher at Redlands Middle School, she got $300 to attend the Colorado Music Education Association conference. And so it went to exactly how they wanted to develop themselves professionally. And so in being good stewards of donations, we just try to showcase exactly where our money is going to help support our two priorities, technology for students and professional learning for teachers.
In terms of the school district, I know over the years since I've been here, a lot of people have felt a sense of frustration with the district because the perception is that we're a very top-heavy district. In other words, a lot of administrators, the feeling is a lot of money going toward those higher level positions where many people, and I have to say, I've been very heartened by the level of support that the community does show for our teachers. They believe very passionately in supporting the work that teachers do. There has been a bit of a controversy that has come up in recent days. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I don't think it affects your organization directly, but it deals with the budgetary and staffing implications of this new organizational structure that is being implemented under Superintendent Haftenstall. And without going into all the details, my understanding is, in a nutshell, it has resulted in an addition of administrative positions and raises for both administrative and for teachers as well, and at an increase of cost that was much more than had been anticipated. I'm assuming that your organization found out about this at the same time that all of us did, which was the Daily Sentinel article that came out. When your organization became aware of this issue, were you concerned at all about your organization and your work at building that trust and building a sense of goodwill around the school district that this might in any way damage that?
Right. Oh, sure. Of course it's been a concern and certainly been on my mind and heart for ever since I have found out about it, which has been about 3.5 weeks or so. In my own experience, my years of living it, it always seems like there are multiple sides to a story anytime. And I guess I try not to jump to conclusions. I'm very appreciative of the decision at the board meeting last night that there'll be a third party to investigate and figure out exactly what happened. It sounds like as I was listening to the school board meeting, that'll be Jane Quimby, who is a retired special agent for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. She'll be overseeing that. And it also sounds like the investigation will be completed within a month. And so that's all good news. But sure, of course, that makes me concerned. One of the things that I am so excited about with the reorganization is putting in the District 51 learning model coaches. And I don't know if you have heard about them, but we have just some fantastic coaches who will be literally in the schools. Professional learning communities are really a real game changer when you're trying to grow students academically. And when you want to make, and it has to be a true professional learning community, but any research that you do, if you look at Hattie or Collective Efficacy, those are the folks who are going to help make such a difference. And they are there to support our teachers. Because as a teacher myself, I have a heart for those teachers. I come from a family of educators. My mother was a teacher at Wingate for over 20 years. I have my brother has been a principal out at Fruita Middle School. I've got sisters who one's a first grade teacher, one's a sixth grade teacher. This is what we talk about a lot, and we want to see our teachers supported. And so I think the foundation can really play an important role in supporting those teachers. And one of the things that I loved last year, we always do a teacher appreciation. And we really felt like, and maybe it was my own heart for teachers, that I really wanted to work hard on finding other ways to support teachers. And so about when I came into this position, we came up with this idea of using paper dolls, which I know sounds a little hokey, but they've actually been very popular, and asking people to donate $10 to the foundation, and they're able to write a little personal message, and then I end up getting them delivered to the teachers. But probably more impactful than that, although to the teachers who receive them, it's pretty sweet. I worked hard with every municipality in Mesa County to ask that they do a proclamation honoring Teacher Appreciation Week, and every single one did it. We had proclamations from Mesa County with the county commissioners. That was exciting. That's the last 2 years running. The town of Palisade, city of Fruta, city of Grand Junction. And I can't begin to tell you how much that means to our teachers. Our school district has over 22,000 students. That's a lot of kids. I repeat that whenever I get interviewed because I think people don't realize how many kids are being impacted by public education in Mesa County. I think that's a great thing to highlight. And our teachers are the ones on the ground making it happen. And I love hearing about anything like our district learning model coaches who are going in the schools to help support the learning that's already taking place. That's exciting to me.
Let's talk a little bit about the annual White Iced Celebration, which I'm assuming is probably your biggest fundraiser of the year, correct?
It is our biggest fundraiser, and I have already started gearing up for our 7th annual White Iced Celebration. I want everyone to save the date. It's Saturday, February 2nd, 2019, and it is our largest fundraiser. We hold it at the CMU Ballroom. It's a time to come together. We honor outstanding educators and outstanding academic growth schools. That's what we really want to highlight. One of the fun aspects of the evening is that people, we ask, that they wear cream or white, silver or gold, and then we decorate the entire ballroom all in white and sparkle, glitter. It just kind of adds to the festivity, and it gives people something instantly to talk about. Where did you happen to find a white dress or cream dress in the middle of February or the start of February? And so we have had wonderful sponsors. Our two premier sponsors this past year were St. Mary's Hospital, who's been such a fantastic supporter, and the Blythe Group were our top sponsors. But I was really very surprised and pleased with what happened. After the mill and the bond passed in November, that was kind of the height of our fundraising. And there was a big part of me that started thinking, oh, have we asked our community too much? And my mindset, even with the board, I thought maybe we won't raise as much for our fundraiser just because people have already given through their through the mill and the bond. But I am so pleased to share with you, Gretchen, the exact opposite was true. We literally doubled the amount of event sponsorship dollars. That's pretty exciting, a little over $50,000. And our attendance was outstanding. Our very first White Iced, I think we had about 150 people, and we were very excited to have that many folks. The first year I took over, we had about 400, and that was a great improvement. And last year, I was sitting on Friday afternoon going, oh my goodness, we have over 600 people. And so it was just wonderful to see that many people come together who also have a heart for public education and want to find a wonderful way to support that. And so we will once again have our 7th annual White Ice Celebration, and that will be coming up in February, on February 2nd, Groundhog Day. So we're really looking forward to it. And our board works hard to get sponsorships, and the sponsorship dollars, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it goes to our two funding priorities, technology for students and professional learning for teachers. We try to keep it all pretty tight, and we've been successful with that model.
So you have a basic dress code for this event, but let's say somebody just can't find the white dress that works or the white tux. I'm assuming you don't turn people away at the door who don't wear white. Is that correct?
Oh, we don't turn anyone away, as you can imagine, Gretchen. It's just part of the fun, and people do wear all different things, and it's just a fun, sparkly event and a great time for our community to come together. And it's a huge, when you look at who the audience is, it's not just teachers, it's not just parents. It's all of those folks. It's parents, it's teachers, it's community members, it's business owners. It doesn't just appeal to one group in the community. It seems like so many of us are touched by School District 51. I mean, when you have 22,000 students in the district, and lots of graduates, I'm a tiger right here. It touches tons of people. And we heard about that as this past week we had our ambassador meeting. And one of the things we wanted to highlight was our contractors from the mill and the bond. And each one of them, as they got up to speak to our group, one of the things that I had asked them to talk about was, how does School District 51 touch you personally and maybe the people in your business? And I loved just hearing story after story of them incorporating, we have this many graduates of School District 51, and between all of us, we have 11 kids who go to School District 51 right now. And so that's just been, it's exciting. It does touch lots of us. And so that's why I think our attendance at the White Iced has been growing so much, because people see we use our money where we say we're going to, and they also have a pretty fun evening. It's a good time.
And I will say, I was at that meeting last week as a D51 Foundation ambassador. And the other thing I'd like to point out, which a lot of the contractors there were local. These are local companies.
Oh, yeah.
And it was such an example of how not only do those dollars go to help the schools, but all that money stays within the community. We've got local contractors who then are doing the work. And I really had a very good sense of that being there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the goals. I mean, it's just too important to all of us, and we need to support it, and we need to be local. And so I would agree, Gretchen, lots and lots of the work is being done by local contractors. All you have to do, I mean, get in your car and drive around, and you see those local companies, and people are busy right now. I mean, things are happening, and that's certainly one aspect of it, and other great things are happening in our community as well. But it's fun to see our local contractors who are busy getting work.
So back to the White Ice, just very briefly. When people get their reminder postcards in the mail, which I assume will be coming out sometime in the next few months, and they go to their calendar and realize, I've got something else on that night and I won't be able to make it, but I want to support the cause. Is there a way for people to still support that event even if they can't be there physically?
Sure. Well, of course, we'll always take donations. You can bet I'm not going to turn that down. Some people have even done things like, I want to buy tickets for teachers at my student school, and I'm a kind of a good point person to go to for that, and can then contact principals and say, hey, somebody made a donation of 4 White Ice tickets to teachers at your school. Do you think you could pull them out of a hat or something, you know, however they decide? And so there are lots of different ways. Sponsorship is also sincerely appreciated. And just making a donation on our website. We have a website that is linked to the school district's website, so you can find us off of that. And we would sure appreciate that. We also, two kind of exciting things. We have an endowment through the Western Colorado Community Foundation, and they have just been fantastic. They are such supporters of education in general in our community. But we feel very thankful to have our endowment through them. So, you know, going through a financial planner and working, or just going straight to them and talking about how you would like your money donated is fantastic. Another thing you can do is just go to our website, and our website has all different things depending. I mean, even things like we just added the Angel Lunch Fund, which is a wonderful way. There are lots of unpaid lunch accounts. And so if you're called and your heart just feels like, I want to donate to that, you can use our website and help pay unpaid lunch bills from people who have substantial bills through that. Oh, I would also add, we just became members of Colorado Gives. I'm really excited. And that was not an easy application process for any of you listening who have applied to become part of Colorado Gives. They want a lot of information, which is fantastic. And we were just accepted probably about 2 months ago or so. So that's another great way to donate to the School District 51 Foundation.
So it sounds like there are lots of ways for people to give, and to give to specific causes that they might feel passionate about. I mean, I think the school lunch program is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. We have lots of hungry kids here in the Valley.
I have to say, sometimes I think I have one of the most delightful jobs because that's exactly it. An example of this is last December, I had someone call me up and say, hey, I want to make a donation to all the teachers at one particular school to help for their classroom. And so what a fun email to write to that principal that we had a donor who donated a pretty substantial amount to each of the teachers for them to use in their classroom for the ways that they felt like were best to help support student learning. And so it's all of those connections. I work closely with all the principals in School District 51 and give them regular updates on what's happening. But it's being able to connect the people, the donors, and our supporters with a cause that would really make an impact, but also means a lot to the donor. And I can't begin to tell you how much it means to our schools and our students and our teachers when they feel supported in that way.
For people who are listening who may not have the available funds to donate to a cause such as this, is there a way for people to help out, help you in your mission that doesn't necessarily involve a monetary donation for those who just can't make that work?
You bet. A couple of ideas come to my mind. One is to reach out to me and become an ambassador. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was on the board of directors for the foundation, and I started to realize that when I spoke at schools where I knew a lot of the parents, people afterwards would come up and talk to me and say, hey, Angela, what is it you're doing? I don't know much about the foundation. Tell me more. But when I went to schools where I didn't know anyone and spoke about the foundation, well, everybody was probably excited for me to stop talking. And so I really thought about how could we find those key people at every school, because every school has parents who are very well connected, know lots of other folks. They're just engaged people. And so I reached out to principals and started gathering names and started gathering folks from every school in the school district to find out, hey, could we come together? And I think we're more powerful if we come together in kind of a grassroots effort to support public education. And it's a really small ask of an ambassador with a really big impact. The small ask is, as an ambassador, come to 2 meetings. I try to keep them right at an hour and try to have them at fun, lively places. We've had them at the Skybox over a Rockies game. We've had them down at Factory. We've had them at just any fun, the Avalon, just any fun place I can come up with. And all that they need to do is go back to their sphere of influence and share a little bit about what the foundation is doing and be that ambassador who can spread the word. So we would love that. Another thing that people might want to do if they don't want to donate money, it would be donating time and becoming a participant in Explore D51. If people are wanting a little more information, I would direct them to our Facebook page or to our website, which is www.d51foundation.org. And you can also reach that if you go to our Mesa County School District 51 website. You'll see a link to the foundation. And so I would really encourage people to do that and check us out and support us in whatever way they can do. But we certainly appreciate the support and the enthusiasm that people have had in the community surrounding public education.
Angela, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today, and good luck to the District 51 Foundation this year in its efforts to support and strengthen academic growth in our community. That ends another edition of Crossing the Divide. Thanks for tuning in. For more information on the District 51 Foundation, visit them online at d51foundation.org and follow School District 51 Foundation on Facebook. And remember to follow Crossing the Divide on Facebook to keep apprised of new releases and other local events highlighting issues impacting life on Colorado's Western Slope. Tune in to KAFM the third Wednesday of September at 12:30 p.m. for a look at our next podcast, where I'll chat with local author Heather Portenier. This edition is a Western Slope tie-in with the PBS series The Great American Read, a cross-country journey to uncover America's most beloved novel. Until then, view the series launch special with host Meredith Vieira at pbs.org and join the Great American Read Book Club on Facebook to add your voice to the debate. This Crossing the Divide podcast was recorded at Mesa County Library's 970 West Studio.